live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay. You have made it. The end of the week is here. You know, if you work a 9-to-5, just a few more hours and the weekend ensues, right? Awesome stuff. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Friday. Got a fun show coming your way. On today's current sports, I'll be commenting on an update concerning the Michigan State football team. This news broke yesterday, and two players have been granted an extra year of eligibility. So what does this latest news mean for the Michigan State football team? I'm also going to have broad thoughts on next year. Again, still so far away, so far away. But I want to touch on a few things as far as expectations go for Mark D'Antonio Spartans next college football season. And as promised, I'll be commenting on the demise of the Los Angeles Lakers. It is really shocking to watch this storied franchise, one of the storied franchises in professional sports. It's really hard to watch what's happening out in LA right now. Never thought we would ever see this. And in my opinion, I think it may be the most disturbing chapter that we've ever seen when it comes to a storied professional sporting franchise here in America. And I'll explain. There's a lot of layers to that conversation. I'll get to that as well. All right. Then on the back end of the show, in addition to Reflection Friday, we also invite the founder of Blessed Body Training for another edition of Fit Fridays. You guys know him very well. His name is Johnny Lewis. Johnny will be joining me on the air to, again, give you another tip that you can use both in the gym and in the kitchen because they go hand in hand. So a lot to get to when this, it's a bit chilly here in mid-Michigan. On this chilly Friday, a high of 55 is what I read. So, you know, if you're out and about, I'm sure you probably got a light jacket on. You know, I'm still missing that 70-degree day that we had on Sunday. Oh, man, and I don't think the weather is supposed to get in the 70s come this weekend. Right now I'm seeing tomorrow a high of 57 degrees and cloudy. Sunday it's going to rain, a high of 55. So, yeah, we won't even be nipping at the 60s at all. So just stay warm out there. You know, it's going to come, folks. It's going to come. But it's Michigan. It takes more time than in other areas for it to warm up and finally start to feel somewhat like summer. All right? So we'll keep you warm throughout this hour. Again, if you want to join the show, you know that number. If you're watching the Facebook live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, you see it right there on your screen. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you are a bit shy and don't want to pick up the phone and chat live on the air, you can always comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Just comment below the live stream, or you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, even if you don't tweet me. At least follow me. All right, I would appreciate that. Or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. Also,
If you don't tweet us there, at least shoot us a follow. All right, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Here, a big congratulations to Michigan State Men's Basketball Associate Head Coach Dwayne Stevens, who has been formally inducted into the Step Up Assistant Coaches Hall of Fame class. That's awesome stuff. Stevens was announced as a member of the inaugural induction class back in March. Now, Stevens was one of 12 coaches inducted on Tuesday, with four representing men's Division I basketball, four from D1, women's basketball, and one apiece from the men's and women's games at the D2 and D3 levels. Now, the first batch of inductees include Stevens, along with Donnie Daniels from Gonzaga, Chris Daly from UConn, Mickey DeMoss, who's retired now, Stan Jones at Florida State, Carol Owens at Notre Dame, Steve Robinson from North Carolina, and Amy Tucker from Stanford. So congratulations to all of the inductees, specifically Michigan State Associate Head Men's Basketball Coach Dwayne Stevens. That is really cool stuff there. Okay, this news broke yesterday. Punter Jake Hartbarger and receiver Brandon Sowers will be back for the Michigan State football team this fall after receiving injury waivers. Hartbarger, he suffered a broken leg, if you remember, in the second game of the 2018 season at Arizona State and missed the rest of the year. The three-year starter from Waterville, Ohio, who is working on his master's degree in marketing research, he ranks seventh in MSU history at 42.1 yards per punt and 10th all-time in punts at 186 and punting yards at 7,833. Now, Sowards missed all of 2017 with a torn knee ligament. He led the Spartans in punt returns in 2016 and 2018 and has 24 returns for 154 yards in his MSU career. The Wyandotte native, who is pursuing his master's degree in human resources and labor relations, he caught a career-high 18 passes for 201 yards and 13 games last season. He had four starts. More on Sowards and Hartbarger returning for a sixth year later on this hour. All right. Michigan State Track and Field opens postseason action at the 2019 Big Ten Championships in Iowa City, Iowa, at the Francis Eck Seismeyer Track on Friday through Sunday, May 10th to the 12th. After splitting the team last week, competing at the Jesse Owens Classic and the Hillsdale Relays, Michigan State reconvenes in Iowa City for the Big Ten Championships. That's before heading to the NCAA East Regional out in Jacksonville, Florida, which will take place later on this month, May 23rd to the 25th. All right, Michigan State baseball will wrap up its five-game week by taking on Iowa in a Big Ten Conference three-game series out in Iowa City, Iowa, Friday through Sunday. Tonight's series opener at Iowa's Banks Field is slated for a 7:05 p.m. first pitch. Saturday's middle game of the series has a 3:05 p.m. start time before the series wraps up on Sunday with a 2:05 p.m. first pitch. Also, Lansing Ignite will take on the Greenville Triumph 7 p.m. tomorrow night. This one from Cooley Law School Stadium. I know some fans out there were a bit annoyed as to what happened earlier on in the week with the Lansing Ignite and AFC Ann Arbor game being moved from Cooley to Lansing Catholic High School. But tomorrow, Lansing at night is slated to play host to the Greenville Triumph.
Yeah, the trade-off for that, though, was the game was free. I ended up going to that game. It was
pretty
fun.
Were there, Connor.
Yeah, it was a little cold, and the wind was killing me with the allergies because all the lovely pollen came through, but it was a fun game.
How did that happen? Are you a soccer fan?
I mean, I want to go. I will watch Lansing Ignite. I'll watch soccer when I can.
Awesome
and
stuff.
And I was nothing else to do that night, so why not? Free. I mean, you can't, how are you going to turn down free sporting events?
I was just about to say, my favorite word in the English dictionary, F-R-E-E, spells free. So why not? You know, it was a little chilly, though, that night, right?
It was a little windy. It wasn't too bad. I had my West Virginia sleeveless hoodie on, so I was fine with that. I was pretty warm.
Well, I'm curious, were some fans upset? Because we discussed this.
There were some people who were a little bit upset. I mean, probably because they can't sell alcohol at the high school, but they had a concession stand. I still thought there was a surprising amount of people there for it being moved and it being, you know, not the best spring night, but it was a decent time.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, hey, things happen, you know, and again, the reasoning behind that game getting moved from Cooley earlier on that week, what was it, like 2 days ago, right, Connor?
Yeah.
2 days ago was because of the field conditions not meeting internal standards. So, okay, some local high school football news as Mike Sparks has been announced as the leader of the Charlotte High School football program for this upcoming fall. The school announced the hiring of Sparks in a release. Sparks replaces Kevin Bennett, who resigned from the position for personal reasons. Bennett was hired by Charlotte back in January, and Sparks, who is the youth recreation coordinator at Charlotte Public Schools, he has been involved with the program in football and coaching in different capacities since 1994. He was an assistant for the Orioles in the fall and also has been a part of the coaching staffs at Napoleon and Olivet College. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Ooh, man, that was ugly yesterday, right? As the LA Angels routed the Tigers 13-0. And what's so weird is that the day before yesterday's game, the Tigers put it on the Angels. So hard to predict this series, right? Albert Pujols, he hit a solo homer in the third inning to become the third player with 2,000 career ribbies. The Tigers will look to rebound tonight against the Minnesota Twins. First pitch slated for 8:10 p.m. The Detroit Lions announced yesterday that they have signed their first-round selection to his rookie contract, along with second-round linebacker Talani Tavai and fifth-round corner Amani Uyarare. Again, the Lions signing, that first-round selection, the rookie tight end, T.J. Hockenson. Detroit selected Hockenson, the top tight end in the 2019 NFL draft, eighth overall out of Iowa. Not a popular pick out there, right? He is the fourth 2019 first-round pick to be signed after Green Bay's Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage and Atlanta's Caleb McGarry. Now, terms of the contracts were not announced. However, I am seeing, Connor, that Hockenson signed a four-year deal. Is that correct? Around like $13 million. Can we double check that? That's what I saw, at least.
I think those are still speculative, but I can double check because
Can we double check that? Maybe because I did see that. I believe. Well, I won't throw out the publication's name, but from what I read this morning, it's speculated to be a four-year $13 million deal for Hockenson. We'll double check on that though. Again, and his deal figures to be slightly more than last year's number 8 pick linebacker Roquan Smith. The former Georgia linebacker signed a fully guaranteed 4-year $18.4 million deal with the Chicago Bears, which included a first-year cap hit of $3.36 million. And Connor, you do have an update on that contract, because again, I read it from the Detroit Free Press.
I just found it. Signing a 4-year deal slotted to be $19.8 million, including a $12.4 million signing bonus.
Okay, so a little bit more than I guessed. So, and that's official. That's official now. All right. So there you have that. Hockenson getting paid. All right. In the NBA, we saw last night two game sevens being forced as the Philadelphia 76ers beat the Toronto Raptors 112-101, and then the Portland Trailblazers topped the Denver Nuggets 119-108. And then in the world of the NHL in the playoffs, the Boston Bruins beat the Carolina Hurricanes 5-2 in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And to my knowledge, the Canes had been completely rolling coming into this Eastern Conference Finals series against Boston. So high-scoring affair, and the Canes go down. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, folks, as promised, I want to start the hour. I'm going to get to MSU football after the first break, but I want to start the hour, you know, as promised on Thursday's current sports, by discussing the train wreck, the car crash, the clown show that has become the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, I never thought that we'd ever see a franchise. It is really like, what, you know, one of the faces of professional sports here in America. I never thought I'd see a franchise like the Lakers become this big of a laughingstock. It is really bad. That's putting it nicely. It's a dumpster fire right now, folks. And I think that for LeBron James, who I believe no matter what happens from here on out, I still believe that LeBron James is going to go down as the second greatest basketball player to ever walk the earth. He's so good still. And, you know, we may be seeing the demise of LeBron James. You know, he had his first, that was really his first major injury that he's ever had in his career. You know, he got injured around Christmas, had to sit out most of the year, and then we just saw the Lakers just tank for the rest of the season. Now, not, and they were trying. It's not like they said, all right, let's lose a bunch of games here. They were trying. They just aren't that good. And it's just getting so bad right now. You know, Connor, you just chimed in my ear during that brief intermission before we dive into this topic, and You told me that the mayor of Los Angeles is now in the news for making a comment about which basketball franchise this city belongs to now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Who is that? What did he say?
TMZ Sports asked the mayor, Eric Garcetti. I probably butchered that name, but if the tide has shifted in the city. He said right now a team is the Clippers. He said before he was a Lakers fan until the day he dies. I love the Clippers. I don't hate them. I'm always Lakers. So he is a Lakers fan saying the city belongs to the Clippers.
Oh, man. And you know what? The fans obviously aren't happy about it. And I know you haven't seen this story, Connor, but I chuckled on the drive-in today because I heard that fans are organizing a protest outside of the Staples Center to protest everything that's gone wrong with this franchise in the last few months here. They plan to voice their displeasure outside of the Staples Center today. And I sit there and say, my gosh. Yeah, fan is certainly short for fanatic, right? Because this is some fanatical stuff here. There's a lot more you could be protesting, but you feel that strongly about your franchise, your beloved Los Angeles Lakers that you are going to organize a protest. This is via a press release issued by Charlie Rivers. He posted this. Charlie Rivers, I guess he's a diehard LA Lakers fan. He posted this on Reddit. Quote, "I have announced a protest in response to Miss Jeannie Buss's decision, making that has impacted the overall ability of the Lakers organization." Now, Connor, I pause there. I don't know what decision he's talking about when he says Miss Jeannie Buss's decision. I'm reading from Yahoo Sports right now, and they just have a copy of the release. So maybe the fact that they did not hire Tyronn Lue, they offered him a 3-year deal, and Jeannie Buss allowed other voices, Kurt and Linda Rambis, to affect that decision. So I guess that's the decision he's referring to. But
I thought maybe he's talking about the decision to gut your organization, but leave behind one man from the last go around.
It's like pick your poison at this point. When he says decision,
wash and repeat.
Right. There's so many things you could bring up. Right. I guess just pick your poison when it comes to decision. He goes on to read, quote, "Making that has impacted the overall ability of the Lakers organization to operate as a successful franchise. Many others, and I find it disturbing, the amount of influence Kurt and Linda Rambis have on the organization," which is why I think that he's referring to not hiring Tyronn Lue. It goes on to read, quote, "This method of production, being based off nepotism, personal friendships, rather than value, is alarming. This event is not representative of the entire fan base, but of those who are frustrated with the ineptitude decision making of this organization's leadership and the path they are taking. We support the Lakers organization, but do not condone its current management. This event is to focus not on the failure to hire Tyronn Lue in favor of Jason Kidd." The Lakers, by the way, have not hired Jason Kidd, but I think that's what they're going to do. They also, Frank Vogel's name has also been floated around, but I think they're going to go with Jason Kidd. Quote, "But the decisions that ultimately are the responsibility of Jeannie Buss, any acts of public disturbances, profanity, violence, threats, and disruption of the peace are not condoned. This event is simply a conduit to have our concerns heard." So there will be a protest outside of the Staples Center due to everything that's happened to this Los Angeles Lakers organization. Oh, man. This topic is just like a sports talk host dream. I could have so much fun with this. And it's really sad, though. You know, this will be the greatest challenge of LeBron James's career. It certainly will. And you look at other individuals in position of management throughout the career of LeBron James. And LeBron James, for the most part, has had some pretty good upper management. You know, I could bring up Danny Ferry. You know, I can bring up Mike Brown. Heck, David Griffin, you know, all, again, with ties to Cleveland. He had a great front office out in Miami. And now you have this. LeBron James certainly would not have joined the Los Angeles Lakers if he knew this was on the horizon. But this is the choice that he made, and he's got to live with it now. You know, I've had multiple discussions with people in who are fans of the NBA, and they've, you know, floated the idea and asked me the question whether or not I think that LeBron James will request a trade at some point. And I don't think so. You know, I think that LeBron James, who is the godfather of mobility in the association today, I think that LeBron James, you know, when he made the decision to move to L.A., he's looking at this as the final team, the final ride of his career. He has been criticized. He was criticized heavily, you know, due to the decision, the hour-long special in which he announced that he was taking his talents down to South Beach. And, you know, I really didn't respect LeBron's legacy until he decided to come back to Cleveland and deliver those fans an NBA championship. So if he was to leave L.A., you will have naysayers out there, even though I couldn't really blame LeBron at this point. It's such a clown show at this point that I couldn't really blame LeBron James if he decided to request a trade. But there are going to be some fans out there that do, because there are a lot of LeBron James haters out there, and I'm going to say, oh, here he is running away from the problem again. you know, trying to hop on another franchise to get another ring. So I think that he's all in on Miami and, on L.A. And the fact that he loves L.A., you know, he wants to go into the film industry. He's already doing that with Space Jam 2. His family, his wife loves L.A. And then you think about LeBron's kids. They reportedly love Los Angeles as well. And then you have to uproot them again to go to another franchise. He's thinking about this effect. I believe if he requested a trade, the effect that it will have on his family. So I think LeBron's ride or die with the Lakers right now. And he wants to figure this thing out. But it's so, so bad. You know, Connor, I got a question for you, a trivia question. Who has the better win percentage, Mike Brown or Tyronn Lue?
Tyronn Lue, I think.
Nope.
Really?
Mike Brown has the higher win percentage and when coaching LeBron James. When coaching LeBron James, I should
say. Oh, okay.
I would still would have went with Tyronn Lue. I'm still shocked because Tyronn Lue won a championship with LeBron James. You know what I mean?
But didn't Tyronn Lue fill in like interim elsewhere and that kind of would skew it a bit?
I guess. But, well, I was shocked. Actually, and when you look at the percentage here, Mike Brown had a 66% win percentage clip during his time with LeBron. So, and you know what's so ironic about this whole thing, about that stat? Ironically, the last time that the Lakers made the playoffs was 2012-2013. And guess who was head coach that season? Mike Brown. Yes, Mike Brown was the head coach of the Lakers the last time that they made the playoffs. And Mike Brown, of course, is now an assistant coach, has been for a while now under Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. So I believe that LeBron James has gone to the point of no return. I don't know how you can request a trade now. I would, because it's gotten so bad now, and I wouldn't blame LeBron, but you all know. You know, LeBron James has been criticized throughout his entire career. There's just LeBron James haters just out there everywhere. If he decided to request a trade, LeBron James is thinking about his legacy, and he doesn't want to give the haters any more fuel. So, and I don't believe that there is going to be a big free agent that is going to come to the LA Lakers. Maybe the best bet that maybe where you have a chance here is maybe you know, a family reunion with Kyrie Irving. You know, Kyrie Irving just got eliminated from the playoffs with the Boston Celtics. And, you know, we heard his comments earlier on in the year. He apologized to LeBron James for being that knuckleheaded young player who gave the vets headaches. He understood where LeBron James was coming. I don't think that he needed to put that out in the press, but he did. I think that Kyrie is at a point now where he wants to win, and he realizes that he had a good thing out in Cleveland with LeBron, and he may be having some nostalgia and saying, what if we linked another time, this time out in L.A.? And Kyrie, I hate to say it, even though he's a dynamic player, he's not a number one guy. Kyrie Irving is a good Robin to somebody's Batman. We saw that on display throughout this last year. And then we get to the position of the coaches. Oh, boy. Luke Walton. Who actually, you know, this is where the riff came. Magic Johnson, former president of basketball operations, reportedly wanted to let go of Luke. And Genie wasn't having that. So they got into it there. But the reason why Luke left is because, you know, reports were out there that Luke wanted to handpick his assistant coaches. And the Lakers said, we are going to give you and tell you who your assistant coaches are. So Luke Walton said, all right, I'm out. I'll step down. And now he is with the Sacramento Kings. And you know it's bad. I mean, Monty Williams, great NBA coach. He had an opportunity to go out there and coach L.A. and LeBron. You know it's bad when Monty Williams decides to go to Phoenix. The Phoenix Suns of all franchises, one of the worst franchises in the association. You know it's bad when Monty Williams says, nope, I don't want to deal with that drama. I'm going to Phoenix. Wow. That puts things in perspective, right? And then the whole Tyronn Lue situation, that was just disrespectful. I don't blame Tyronn Lue. You know, he's got $20 million in the bank. He doesn't need the L.A. Lakers. He doesn't need that drama. But they, you know, he sat down with the organization, and they offer him a 3-year deal,
That's just disrespectful. This is a guy who's won a championship. That's a rookie contract in the National Basketball Association. A 3-year deal. So, reports come out concerning that move that Kurt Rambis, the senior basketball advisor for the Lakers, and Linda Rambis, who is the team's executive director of special projects. What does that even mean? Director of special projects. I have no idea.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
That's the title. That's the title, Russ. Linda Rambis, the team's executive director of special projects. Yet, it's being reported that Linda and Kurt were the ones that swayed Jeannie's decision not to go with Lou. I don't have any details concerning the 3-year deal, but they're the ones that swayed Jeannie's decision here, Connor.
Did you see the other part of that, too, where another part of that was that they wanted Lou to come in, but they also wanted Lou to hire Jason Kidd onto staff? Like, what the
I'm heck? Getting to it.
That's ridiculous.
I'm getting to it, brother. Trust me. Yeah, and it gets worse, right? It gets worse. And Jeannie is the quote-unquote controlling owner and president of the L.A. Lakers. But, again, it looks like she's having other people decide where the future of this franchise is going to go, i.e. Kurt and Linda Rambis. Oh, and, hey, Rob Pelinka, you're not off the hook either. Team's GM. He has no idea what he's doing. Rob Pelinka has no clue what he's doing. He's never had this job before. You know, again, he's the team's GM. Before joining the Lakers, what did Rob Pelinka do? He was Kobe Bryant's agent and the president and CEO of Landmark Sports Agency. He never had an executive job in the association before. And now he's the GM, and he's clueless. He's lost. This is not what he does. And not to pick on Magic, but Magic, becoming the president of basketball operations, he had never done that job before. And, you know, this is what separates good leaders from bad leaders. Good leaders and good heads of organizations. As a leader of an organization, you have to have an eye, not just for talent, but for fit. You know, can that individual, he may be a talented individual, he knows the game, knows sports, he's got all these connections, but is he a right fit for that position? Magic has great knowledge of the game, I believe, but that's not his personality. President of basketball operations, he used to be on Twitter, we combed through this, he used to be on Twitter, used to mentoring people, he can't do that. That's not who Magic is. And, you know, again, that's something that GMs, owners, and again, heads of other organizations, you know, you have to have a talent for. So, again, these reports that are coming out, Kurt Rambis is playing a major role in emerging as a power voice in the purple and gold search for their next head coach. Couldn't reach that agreement with Tyronn Lue, and I get why Lue said, all right, I'm not doing this. 3-year contract? Come on, man. I've got a ring. No matter your thoughts on that ring. You know, I may have gotten it with the greatest player in the game at the time, but I got a ring and a 3-year deal. Come on, man. And then you have Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. He reported on Wednesday, while Nick Wright, also of Fox Sports 1, noted that Rambis and his wife, Linda, convinced the Lakers not to hire Tyronn Lue. Even though Jeannie and Pelinka reportedly signed off on the hiring. And then this whole thing about forcing assistance. You know, I mentioned Luke Walton, and, you know, they tried to force assistance on him. Right? They wanted to do the same thing. As you noted, Connor, they wanted to do the same thing with Tyronn Lue. You know, hey, we're going to pick your assistant coaching staff. Mark Stein of the New York Times, the Lakers' attempts to force assistant coaches on Lue was one of the things that, quote, led to a breakdown in talks. I never thought I would see the Lakers be mentioned in the same breath, Connor, as the New York Knicks. It's worse than the New York. I never thought an organization could get worse than the New York Knicks in the National Basketball Association. And somehow the Lakers have taken the cake there.
You know, I think they're worse in the fact that, if nothing else, I think Dolan in New York knows what he's doing. He knows he's kind of an idiot about these things. He knows that he's just doing it for pride. In LA, they honestly think they're doing it for the right reasons. It's ridiculous. I don't understand. You're telling me that if you got a job, they want to hire directly underneath you the guy who can replace you, and if you screw up, your top competitor. That doesn't seem right. And then did you see this piece from Stephen A. Smith? It came out yesterday. His sources have told him that people throughout LA are pressuring Jeannie Buss to trade LeBron. So if that's the case, you're going to go full nuclear after you did all this time to get the greatest basketball player of the 21st century to your team. And then after a year in which you wouldn't clean slate, you didn't bring in a coach, you couldn't bring in the talent, you didn't want to pull the trigger on a trade for an all-star, you're going to go full nuclear, get rid of him, and ride with the core, which there are some talent there, but for the most part, it's a team of scrubs.
You're right. I cannot argue with that, dude. It's really, really bad. It is really bad. And again, I'm curious to see. It'll be even funnier to watch this protest that will be happening outside of the Staples Center today. They have some chants also, Connor. They're going to be chanting, I believe, Fire Palinka.
That's smart. That's a good one.
Also, we don't want Jason Kidd. They don't want Jason Kidd.
No one in the NBA should want Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Well,
if you had to choose between Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd, I'm going with Jason Kidd.
Frank Vogel has been fired
from every NBA job. So is Jason Kidd. I'm going with Jason Kidd just because he can relate more to LeBron James. LeBron James needs a coach who is going to be a yes man. That's how it is. Frank Vogel is not going to do that with LeBron
James. Here's the only thing. Jason Kidd's a yes man, cool. But Frank Vogel is a decent coach. If you look at what he did,
but
if you look
LeBron's at what he did not going to let that, him coach.
But that bum Pacers squad in the early 2010s,
I hear
where he just pulled Paul George, who wasn't even developed yet, and constantly injured Danny Granger, a constantly injured George Hill, and forced 6 and 7 games against LeBron,
right.
Wade, and Bosh. I think Frank Vogel is the best case scenario for them. Because, Connor, I know it's LeBron.
It's a different situation with LeBron James. You saw what happened with David Blatt, right? David tried to come in and be the guy, like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And LeBron James said, nope, guess what? You're fired. You know, you need to bring in a younger coach who can relate to LeBron, who's going to let LeBron do what he does. So,
my only thing, though, last thing with Jason Kidd, though, is that you need a yes man, but you need a yes man who can coach. And Jason Kidd just, in all of his NBA, I haven't seen anything that's like, man, yep. he can do something to move the needle. Like, yes man's great, but you need to, he still needs to be able to coach everyone else.
It'll be even more drama if they go with Vogel, I think. You'll have, clips of LeBron tuning him out, and it'd just be bad.
If they go Vogel, I think they're going the full nuclear option and scrapping the whole thing.
Yeah. I hear you. Okay. Let's hit our first break. When I come back, I want to talk about MSU football. Oh, boy. We'll touch on two players who have been granted a sixth year of eligibility. And I want to ask a question concerning the expectations of Spartan football come next season. All right? We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Hey, that's Macklemore. Wow, he's having a great career right now. What'd you say, Connor? Chime in, dude.
It's Ray Dalton's birthday, the guy who sings the chorus of this. So that's
happy birthday.
That's why we have that.
Happy birthday. Yeah, Macklemore just kind of fell off the face of the earth. My goodness. Shout out to Logic. Speaking of music, shout out to Logic, my guy Logic. He dropped an album. I believe it came out yesterday. Listened to it last night. Eminem is on it. Got a hot track with Logic and Eminem. Huge fan of Logic. Dope album from what I heard. I listened to like 7 tracks out of the 15 or 16 that are on the album. So, okay. Want to pass along this news to you guys. If you haven't heard, if you've been living under a rock, Spartan fans, punter Jake Hartbarger
And receiver Brandon Sowards will be back for the Spartans this fall, receiving injury waivers. Hartberger, he suffered that broken leg. That was a key moment in that game, too, Connor. Do you remember that? Because Hartberger goes down in that game. I believe MSU was up at that point. If they throw, it was a clear foul, penalty. If they throw the flag there, MSU renews that drive, and who knows what could happen there. But that was a key moment in that game. He broke his leg on the play against Arizona State University. He missed the rest of the season. He has been granted another year. Again, Brandon Sowards, people have mixed emotions when it comes to Sowards. Sowards
is a poor man's Danny Amendola.
Hold on, did you just mention Brand? Well, I'm glad you put a lot of pores there, because you may have to
there
put
at least
15
five,
more
six, possibly seven pores there.
Yes, you got to put maybe even more than that, Connor. But Sowards is a player. I don't think he should be the punt returner anymore. He doesn't give you any flair. His hands aren't great. I don't mean to pick on him. I think from what I've been hearing when it comes to how he's doing in practice, he's great in practice, but haven't seen much from Sowards. But
he doesn't return much punts. He fair catches most of them.
Just waving his hand, like just praise him, right? He just throws up a lot of praises. But Sowards comes back. Hartberger is a big get, though. Jake Hartberger is a difference maker for this Michigan State football team. I mean, how many times have we seen Jake, you know, pin the offense, in the 10-yard line, within the 10-yard line and in the goal line, right? I mean, it's amazing what he does. So that is a huge get for Michigan State come next season. We'll see what happens to Sowards. He's got one more year. I don't want to bash the guy. But he wasn't, when I heard the news, I'm like, all right, cool. I was more so invested in Hartberger returning. But I want to say this. I just want to say this. Again, I won't be long here when it comes to MSU football, because we have a long, long time until the Spartans get back on the gridiron. But I want to ask this, Connor. Do you think the seat becomes a little bit warm? I'm just asking the question. Okay, I'm just asking a question here. Does the seat become a little bit warm from a fan perspective? Look, I think Coach D'Antonio has earned the right to go out on his own terms, and Bill Beekman just got the job, a year ago. Bill Beekman's not going to fire anybody. Bill is just here to make sure everybody's just, we keep the wheels on the track. From a fan perspective, though, do you think the seat gets warm for Coach D'Antonio if they have a repeat of last year?
If they have a repeat of last year, I think it gets warm from a fan perspective. If it is really, really bad, and I'm talking like 2016 bad, I think he gets an actual hot seat. Because
Beekman's not going to do that. No, Beekman's not going to do that.
Here's the thing. A hot seat, the hot seat in the sense of, yeah, it gets a little bit more intense. Obviously, he's not going to fire him after that year. No, a hot seat just means that not next year, but the year after, the 2021, 2022, suddenly there's a little bit more looking inwards and saying, can we do a little bit better than something like that? I'm not saying that if they have a 2016-esque season that D'Antonio's going to be gone. No.
So you're basically saying if they have another bad year, you think that if they have another bad year, you think that Bill will at least be like, hey, Mark, let's have a meeting.
Yes.
Let's talk about some things.
He gets put onto the hot seat. He's not getting thrown into the fire.
Sit down here in my office. Maybe a little warm.
Exactly.
But let's have a conversation. You think he has a talk? Because I do believe that as well. I do believe that. I think that Mark D'Antonio, when you look at his track record of success, everything that he's done for this program, he deserves the right to go out on his own terms, unless something like crazy, egregious happens and there's some violations. It had to be really dramatic. But I don't think he will be fired. That's not going to happen. But in circles, when it comes to fans, I mean, my goodness, just listen to the chatter. In the barbershop, last week, I'm sitting there. We're talking. I don't know how the conversation came up. I think somebody had like an MSU football poster up from last season, and we got on the topic, and they're saying, man, if Coach D'Antonio don't get it together this year,
You know, I had one guy in there saying, I'm not renewing my season tickets. You know, I'm done.
Yeah,
it's serious
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no. You see, if it goes to the same – with this caliber of a defense that they're bringing back, if it's the same old thing as last year, I think he loses a lot of fan support. And typically when coaches get in trouble, it starts with you lost fan support. People aren't coming to games or claiming they aren't coming to games. Mm-hmm. That's when it gets tougher. If he goes the same thing as last year, I think we don't that Bill Beekman doesn't have the step into my office, sit down, and have a chat. No, I don't think that happens. I think he needs to be really bad for the upper levels to then get involved. The fans are a completely different story. If they go average again, if they do like a Jeff Fisher season,
right?
He'll lose the fans.
He'll lose the fans, and once you lose the fans, it's like a ripple effect, right? You know, you lose the fans, you start to lose money. Because nobody's coming to the games. If you lose money, then that's going to upset the upper execs of Michigan State University. Like, hold on, what's going on here? So, yeah, but I just still think, you know, Bill is so new to the job, and he's such a nice guy. You know, he's new to it, nice guy. He's still learning the athletic director business. He's not going to fire Mark D'Antonio. But, again, it's a different perception when it comes to what upper execs are going to do and the perception that they have of an individual because they know that individual personally when it comes to how the fans view it. Fans, Michigan State fans, and I'm with you. You know, you have earned the right as fans now. Looking at the past success that Coach D'Antonio has brought to this program, you have earned the right to expect more from your Michigan State football program. Only thing I can guarantee for next year, the only thing I can guarantee is that defense is going to be solid. And it hurts when looking at last season because that defense was a national championship winning defense. That defense was fantastic. If you just have an average offense,
high school offense.
I'm telling you, man. Exactly, Connor. I mean, the wonders that could have done, you know, if you have an average offense for your season. So I just don't know. I don't know how good this offense is going to be. You know, spring game is spring game. Brian Lewerke, I'll just say this. Brian Lewerke's arm looks much healthier, but I just don't know. When you have a year that Brian had last season, again, some of that had to do with the fact that the Michigan State coaching staff, despite the fact that Brian wasn't healthy, continued to put him out there. You cannot ignore that, but I just don't know what to expect from this offense. If this offense is again in the dumps, Michigan State will have a repeat season of what we saw last year. Also, some news that I saw in the Twitter sphere yesterday is that Weston Bridges, Michigan State running back, he is being moved because there are just so many running backs on this roster right now. Mark D'Antonio is moving Weston Bridges from running back to now wide receiver. So just wanted to pass that along to you guys. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have Fit Fridays for you with the one, the only trainer and founder of Blessed Body Training, my man Johnny Lewis. We'll be right back.
Physical. I am Hans.
And I am Franz, and we just want to pop.
You're
Royce, it's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warmer, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press, a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute abs, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
All right, with 10 minutes left in the hour, you hear the intro. Shout out to Nipsey. Rest in peace. My man Johnny Lewis now joins us for another edition of Fit Fridays, where he gives you a weekly tip that you can use in the gym and in the kitchen because they go hand in hand. J. Lou, live from Arizona. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, Al? How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. It's always good when we hear your voice because that means it's Friday. So,
you already know.
Yes,
before we start, man, I wanted to touch on something you said earlier
yeah.
about the Lakers. And you know, like, I thought I was a Lakers fan my whole life, and then Kobe retired, and I realized, hold on, I was a Kobe fan. I wasn't really a Lakers fan. But I heard about that protest, and I was like, man, that's kind of wild. That's crazy.
It's gotten that bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gotten bad. And I had to hold my breath. I mean, I didn't call in earlier, but you said LeBron might go down as the number two. I think you meant number three, brother.
So you're putting,
you know, Kobe
oh
always,
my gosh.
Can't leave out Kobe, man.
Johnny, that's enough. We may have to bring you back next week for that debate, okay? But that's another topic for another day. So you think Kobe is the second greatest of all time? All right, see, I want to just derail the segment right now, but I won't. I'll stay on track.
Get to Fit Friday, baby.
Exactly. All right, dude, let's start in the gym. You want to talk about getting active with exercise classes. Go ahead, my man.
Yeah, so I think it's a great opportunity not only to just get active, but to meet other people. And I'm going to go back time and time again to this accountability. You're going to meet other accountability partners. So exercise classes are the best way to, like, stay fit and have other people that's depending on you so you can stay active. And I'm going to highlight a few that are some of my favorites. And I think that are some of the most popular as well. Number one is yoga classes. I don't know if you've been to a yoga class, Al, but if you haven't, I think it's a good idea to go to one. It's a great workout, great to meet people, mm-hmm. just a good mind, body, and spirit. I'm sorry, great mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah.
A way to just get in tune with all of that. So I think yoga is great. Number two is a spin class. Spin classes are they can be difficult the first time because just for an hour straight, you're just constantly spinning. But, you know, you kind of go at your own level and the instructor will tell you when to pick it up. Again, a great way to meet people, a great way to, you know, find other people that's into fitness. And lastly is the kickboxing class, which is the most intense out of the three, but you got people with all different kinds of levels. You're not going to just have experts in there. You're going to have people that's just starting out. So it's another great way to, you know, just get into fitness slowly or, you know, and staying active.
So I got two questions, Johnny. One, yoga. I've never been to a yoga class. It's become so big nowadays. I'm definitely going to, I plan on trying it out sometime this summer, but I feel like, Johnny, it has become such a fad. And I'm seeing so many people like, you know, hip hop. Like, how can you get in touch with your mind, body, and spirit if you got, you know, trap music playing, like trap yoga, trap music, hip hop music is playing as you're trying to do yoga? There's so many different forms now. Has it gotten out of hand?
I don't think so. I think everybody has yoga in their own form, and you can get in tune with, you know, on your own way. I don't think everyone's the same. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're more into, like, the trap yoga, you know, that's the new school style, you know, go ahead.
Whatever gets you active, right? Friend, whatever gets you active, I guess, right?
Exactly. Whatever gets you active, man. Back in the past, it was a common misconception that only women can do yoga, but I've been going, I've seen, you know, half and half, like, just as many guys as girls in there. So, you know, never let that stop you from going either. So, I mean, it wouldn't make most of us guys stop from going. That's more something that would bring us there in the first place. But you know what I mean.
Right.
Some things you can't do it just because you're a guy, you know.
Exactly. And you know what? Really quick here. How do my listeners out there knock the nervousness that possibly comes with working out amongst others? Because some people just like being in their zone and, you know, not working out with others because they may feel like they're judged. How do they knock that nervousness, Johnny?
Well, one thing I'm going to say is that there's people of all kinds of fitness levels. So if one of the reasons that you're nervous is because you think you won't be in shape, there's a huge chance that there's going to be someone there that's even less in shape than you. So I think that's where a lot of nervousness comes from, like just, you know, how you're going to compare yourself to others. But mm-hmm. just get in there, there's going to be people on the same exact level as you, and you're going to relate to them and make friends. So it is not for everybody. If you want to start off on your own, that's fine, because, you know, I had Fit Friday days where I've talked about home workouts. But you know, whenever you're ready, you know, go out there. You're going to meet people on the same level as you, just like you. You might meet your best friend there. You never know.
That's awesome. And we got one of our listeners chiming in on Facebook. Alex says that, you know, I agree with all of those, Johnny. I used to teach a cardio kickboxing class. That's awesome, Alex. Awesome stuff, man.
Oh, yeah, cardio kickboxing.
That's great. I want to. That's also on my bucket list for the summer as well, as far as workout classes go. All right, Johnny. As we come up with just what 2 minutes left here, I'm sorry you may have to speed through this, but what is your healthy food tip of the day? What do you have, Jay?
So I just want to highlight the three components of a meal prep container, because a lot of people wonder how to meal prep, but it's important to get a protein, a green vegetable, and like a starch or a low carb. Or like a healthy fat if you're on keto. So my favorite proteins are chicken and salmon. My favorite greens are broccoli and asparagus, very healthy, all tons of nutrients. And my favorite like starch is to add a potato. Like I said, if you're low carb, you can add like cauliflower rice, zucchini, or even like avocado for like a healthy fat for the keto. So there you have it, the three components, the three main elements of a meal prep container.
I love that, man. I love that because, you know, we get so busy sometimes, you know, it really saves time and you live a healthier life when you do prep your meals ahead of time. And
save money.
And you save a lot of money. Preach on, brother. Preach on, man, instead of just eating out every single day. So, all right, Johnny, another great edition of Fit Fridays. Much appreciated, dude. Have a great weekend, man.
You too, Al. Stay blessed.
Always stay blessed. Okay, with 1 minute left, I just want to give a big shout-out to all of our guests that we had throughout the week. Johnny Lewis. Also, we had Jason Ruff in earlier this week to talk some hockey. Brian Nielsen, a horse racing expert. And also, a big shout-out to my former boss, who I will be honoring along with many others. I'll be emceeing tonight's retirement celebration here at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences. The guy who hired me here at WKAR, Gary Reed. I'll try not to cry while I'm up there, all right? But shout out to Gary Reed. What a life, what a legacy here at Michigan State and beyond. Definitely looking forward to that. Any final words for the week, Connor, before we say goodbye?
Lakers, pick a plan.
Lakers, pick a plan. That's good. That's well said. All right, folks. We'll see you next week, and be easy, people.